The book of Daniel, chapter number 7, I want you to look with me. I'm interested in just one verse. Now, let me give you a little bit of context where we are. Daniel has been given a vision of the last days, and it's upset him. It's upset him. Look in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. See that? He saw these visions, he saw these beasts, he saw these atrocities. And of course, those beasts were symbols of kingdoms that he saw. And the last one was the Roman Empire that he saw, a terrible, terrible beast that he saw. And by the way, there's not a fifth one. There's going to be the revival of the Roman Empire. And that's what's taking place now. So we're still in that one. We're still in that last one. We're in the feet and toes of Nebuchadnezzar's vision that he saw. That's where we are. That's the time frame. And it tells us plainly that those great beasts, those four beasts, there are four kings. And they were. They were the four kings that rose up. They were, of course, the Persians, the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. And then they were conquered by the Grecians. And then ultimately, I missed one, but ultimately it was, I guess, Babylon, am I counting it right? Babylon, Persia, Syria. Syria, I missed Syria. Syria, and then Greece, and then the Roman kingdom. And he says this, look down here in verse number 22. I guess verse 21, he says, and I beheld in the same horn made war, the horn being the king, made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now notice that phrase, prevailed against them. Who did that? This king, this wicked individual made war with the saints and prevailed against them. But look at verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. You know we're going to judge angels, right? You do know that, right? And the Bible says, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 22. So I wanted to set that stage for you before we read our text verse. Look in verse number 25. The Bible says that these kings and the ten horns, he's talking about those ten horns, another shall rise after him. He shall be diverse from the first. He shall subdue three kings. Now, this we know is the Antichrist. And this is the context of the passage, is the Antichrist. And I want you to read you what he says. Verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. That's number one. Number two. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear out the saints. I like Daniel's writing. He was a southern boy. And the Bible says, and think to change times and laws. And the scripture says, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. I'm interested in the thought, wear out the saints. But I'm interested in the idea behind it. This passage tells us about Satan's defiance. But in revealing Satan's defiance to the Most High God, he also revealed the saints' defense. You get that? I'll explain in a moment. Let's pray. Father, May the mind of God be ours, and may we convey what you put upon our hearts today in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you very much. Please be seated. Anybody watch baseball? Anybody watch baseball? So when they're in the dugout and the coaches are talking, they'll take their hat off and hold up over their face and they'll talk to each other. Or they'll put their hand up like this and they'll talk to each other with their hand over their mouth. Anybody know why that is? I can tell you why it is. Baseball is so competitive they hire people who can read lips. And they sit there with binoculars and watch everything they say. And they'll anticipate what the move is. They're getting ready to take the picture out. They're getting ready to put so-and-so in. Be ready. And they're communicating. Okay? And even now, they're doing it for the football. On the sidelines, the coach with the headset, now he's got to hold his clipboard up. And now they got to where they were listening to each other, eavesdropping on each other's channels. And so that became a big deal. And they were listening to each other and getting each other's playbook. And so they've now started scrambling the channels. And they've got this real sophisticated technology to go in and to scramble it where the other team can't hear what they're saying. Because they don't want them to know. They don't want them to know what the game plan is. Because if they know what your next pitch is, they can prepare for it. If they know what your next move is, they can prepare for it, see? But when they cover their mouth and keep their plays silent, then you don't know what's next. You don't know what's coming. Well, I'm glad that the Lord give us the edge, meaning that He revealed the devil's playbook. Those many hundred years ago, thousands of years ago, He revealed the devil's playbook. You say, well, now, wait a minute, preacher. The Antichrist is not here, and that's not what's going on. Bible says the spirit of Antichrist doth already work. So I want you to understand it will intensify during the 3.5-year period. But trust me when I tell you, we are in the last days. And trust me when I tell you, we are facing Antichrist on every hand. Everything that opposes Christ is Antichrist. And so we always think about it being a man. There is going to be a man of sin. But I want you to understand that Antichrist is a system. Antichrist is a movement. Antichrist is a philosophy. Okay? And it's here. And it's here in big measure. And so there are three things that the Scripture tells us that we're going to have to face and that we're going to have to guard against and we're going to have to toughen up against, and we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God against. There's some things, and oftentimes we personalize them. And oftentimes we say, well, they're mad at me at work, and at work they treat me bad, Well, listen, if you get all tattooed up and all pierced up and go drink with them after work, they'd leave you alone. They'd leave you alone. If you'd be one of the guys, one of the girls, they'd leave you alone. But it ain't you that they're mad at. It's the God you serve. And the fact that you don't look like you fell face first at a tackle box is convicting to them. You see? Sometimes you see people in restaurants and you're thinking, how are they going to eat with all that in their face? I went to have my oil changed. And as the fellow down in the pit changing the oil. And I forgot what they asked, maybe what kind of oil it was or whatever. Anyway, he's down in the pit, he hollered at me. So I walked over, looked at him, and he said, "What kind of oil do you want?" Well, he had a big chaw of tobacco in his mouth, and I said, "Well, that's what it is. He's got tobacco in his mouth." But I didn't hardly understand what he said, but I think he said, "What kind of oil you want?" So I told him. Well, at the end, he came up out of the pit and gave me my bill. He said, "Thank you, come back." He had a big old silver ball on the middle of his tongue. I've bit my tongue before, and I tell you, my tongue hurt all the way to the house. I can't imagine chewing tobacco with a big old, look like a ball bearing stuck in the middle of your tongue. I can't imagine that. I can't even, I guess my question is, why would you want to do that? I can't. And then here's the other thing that gets me about that mess is that you look at them and they go look at you like, "Well, what are you looking at?" Yeah. Well, if you didn't want to be looked at, why did you do what you did? You did it for attention unto God. Why in the world would you look? I mean, you're doing it for attention. You're doing it for attention. Why would you not welcome attention? You know, you walk into a restaurant and the maitre d' announced, "Would everybody please look at the fellow with green hair and fish hooks hanging out of his ears and, you know, and all." I mean, that's what they're wanting. And everybody go look at us. Ooh, that's nasty. And they take a bow. You know, yeah, that's what they're at. That's what they want. That's the whole idea. So what I'm trying to get to and what I'm trying to say is sometimes we take all these things personal. But I want you to understand that it's not against us. The Bible says, and shall speak great words against the most holy Christian. No, against the Most High. There's that sin of slander against the person of the Most High. I mean, they want to slander the Lord of glory. They want to blaspheme the Creator and His sovereignty. Simon Peter said in his first epistle, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Well, sometimes it don't feel that way, does it, when they're giving you down the road? But that's exactly what the Scripture says. Happy are you. He said in his second epistle, Simon said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth, evil spoken of. They had a hearing this past week in Brevard about making social district in downtown. In other words, turn the entire downtown into an open bar. Open liquor up and down the streets all the time, between certain street and certain street. And one of the fellows that spoke against it said, we shouldn't let people's religious values weigh in on this. Said, the Constitution prohibits that. I don't know what planet he's from, but that Constitution is based on biblical principles that gave him that right to say that in a public setting. But the last time I checked, the majority still ruled in this country. And this county has 54 Baptist churches, unless another one's closed that I didn't know about. 54. And going to let the religious, and I guarantee you he's not from around here. Guarantee you. But my question is, why do you want to come in here and turn this into a little Miami? If you like Miami so well, go back. Go back. We'll get you a ticket one way. Go back, my friend, go back. And I'm not just playing. I've always said anybody wants to come here because they love God and love our mountain heritage and because it's Mayberry, and they want to come here because of that, I embrace that. I embrace that. It's wonderful. But man, you want to come in here and turn this into the little hellhole you left? No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Still says in God we trust. Our fire trucks say in God we trust. I got news for them. And by the way, Asheville has showed themselves, and it was a national thing. Or what's the guy Tucker Carlson did a national expose on how bad Asheville was, and Black Lives Matter, and Antifa, and all that other mess. Did you know that Asheville tourism's down 42%? 42%. And you know what? It's affecting even our Airbnbs this far away. People are staying away from Western North Carolina because of the idiots.
Amen.
And abandoning the things of God and the morality that made these mountains what they are and that has preserved this as a little haven. And I got news for you. I'm not taking it sitting down.
Amen.
Not taking it sitting down. I'll fight them, son, with my last breath. They need to know that. But we also need to understand, it's not me that they don't like. It's the God we serve. It's the Bible we preach. They hate it. They hate it. But I got good news for them. Well, it's kind of good. One of these days soon, the God's people are leaving. And the Holy Ghost that's restraining, he's leaving too. But their children in the age of innocence, they're leaving too. There'll be empty cradles in those godless homes. Hear me? And they can have it. They can have it. God will put this thing under martial law. Those angels will start pouring out those vials. Hey, they don't need to be worried about climate change, friends. God's going to set this thing on fire. He's going to have to renovate it. They say, oh, it's to the boiling point. It's getting ready to be to the flaming point. God's going to annihilate this thing because of the wickedness of this planet. And God's going to create a new heaven, a new earth. He's going to take the curse off this one for 1,000 years. He'll fix climate change that fast. It's going to be over. He'll fix it. Hear what I'm saying. There's the slander against the person of the Most High. He shall speak great words against the Most High. If you're catching it from family, from friends, at work, wherever, just remember. If you're a Buddhist, they would praise you. If you're a Muslim, they'd be scared of you. If you were a Hindu, they wouldn't know what to do with you. If you're a redneck, good old drinking buddy, they'd pat you on the back. But if you're a Christian, they spit on you. Yeah. Great swelling words, great words against the Most High, the sin of slander. But then look what the Bible says, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Wear out the saints of the Most High. Wednesday night I talked a little bit about the siege at Yorktown. Washington and also Lafayette, both they opened up their big cannons and they pounded Yorktown for days before the ground invasion. They softened it up. They pounded it over and over and over. Relentless bombardment. Can I tell you that's what it is in these days? I hear people say, well, you know, the devil's locked. I've locked horns with the devil and the devil's, you know, I'm fighting the devil head on. Well, listen to me. Probably not. Probably not, because we're no match for him. And while he does, you know what he does? He terrorizes us. He aggravates us. You know why a lion roars, an older lion? Young lion don't say anything. Young lion can catch its prey. You know why old lion roars? He'll walk out to the herd, walk up out of his hiding place, open his mouth and roar and shake the jungle. You know why he does that? To stampede the herd. You know what happens when you stampede the herd? Somebody gets hurt. He just picks out the one that's limping and he's got his supper. He ain't got to run. All he's got to do is roar. Why run when you can roar? He just roars. I want you to understand there's a lot of roaring going on. The devil's roaring, and he's wearing the saints out. Somebody said, well, what are we going to do about that, preacher? What are we going to do about that? Well, I thought about the parable in Mark 4, what the Lord said about the stony ground. He said this, and said, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when afflicted, a persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And the word offended means to turn around and walk off. So what did we do, preacher? Well, these people didn't have much root. So what are you going to do? You got to get rooted. You got to get grounded. You got to get grounded. When we first moved on where we lived, for 30-something years, big old tree down in a swampy area. And I went and looked at it. I looked at that tree, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I said, the bottom of that tree, I said, something don't look right. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, I looked out on this side, I looked at it, and it dawned on me one day. I looked at that tree for a long time, and it finally realized what it was. That tree didn't have a taproot. That tree was in a wet area, and that tree didn't have to put its roots down very deep, and it was right on the surface, and a big wind come and put it right over. There was no taproot. It didn't have the big root right out the middle of the bottom. It didn't have one. It wasn't there. Because it could get everything on the surface. Shallow. You ever notice, you know, have you ever noticed in a hurricane, you know the one thing that survives hurricanes? Palm trees. You ever notice that? Why is that? A palm tree will survive the worst hurricane ever was. Won't be no leaves on them, and it'll lean over, but over a while it'll raise back up, and it'll put leaves out, and it'll go to barren again. What? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. They always survive. The palm trees. They must solid put down some roots is all I know. I don't understand exactly all I know about a palm tree, but they seem to survive. While we're talking about trees, I was considering, before we moved to Legacy, I was considering building a barn over our other property. And I was talking to a sawmiller. And I said, yeah, I've got some oak and I'd like to cut some oak beams from a barn. And he stopped and he said, what you going to use them for? I said, for my spans of my barn. So I'm going to put oak beams and span my barn. He said, oh, no, don't do that. I said, is oak not the toughest wood, about the toughest wood that grows around here? He said, oh, yeah. But you don't want to use these beams. And I said, if it's the strongest wood that grows around here, why would I not want to use it for a beam? He said, because it'll take a set. I said, okay, you've completely lost me. Let's start over. Erase the blackboard here, teacher. What are we talking about? He said, if you use oak beams in your barn and you load it full of hay in the fall and it's got a pretty big moisture content still in it and it's heavy, it'll cause it to swag. You've ever seen a barn swag? I said, of course. Of course they swag when they're loaded. Of course they swag. He said, if you use oak, it'll take a set. It won't unload in the spring. That oak will stay the way you bent it. I said, really? He said, yep. I said, so what do I use? He said, oh, you use pine. I said, why? He said, because pine's flexible. You can load pine all day long and you turn it loose and it'll go right back up. You can push it back down next year, it'll go right back up. He said, that barn will last for you. He said, use them for your uprights. Use your oak for your siding. Use your oak for a lot. But don't you use oak in your beams for your long spans. Use pine instead. And I got to thinking about that. I remember Daddy, I don't remember exactly what we was doing, but I remember that we had a truck loaded completely down. Maybe it was a firewood, I don't know what it was, but an old 50 pickup or something. And we were squatting, just squatting. And so we'd worked and got it and loaded the truck up and we got to the house. He said, all right, we got to unload it. I said, it's dark. Yeah, but we got to unload. I said, why can't we wait? He said, because the truck's loaded. I said, we drove it down here like that. What's the problem? He goes, son, it'll take the tension out of my springs. I didn't understand. He said, a truck can carry weight, but if you leave that weight on it continuously, you'll take the tension out of your springs and it won't be able to haul as much in the future. It'll be squishy. The back end will get soft. He said, you can load a truck down, just don't leave it on there long. He said, if you leave one sitting with a load on it, it'll take the tension out of the springs. As God's people, listen to me. You got to unload your burdens to the Lord on a daily basis. You can't walk around fully loaded all the time. You listening? Oh, preacher, I'm just walking around with such a burden. Yeah, and if you keep walking around like that, you're gonna go stay that way, all right? If you keep doing that, you do that long enough, you will not be able to straighten up. Ask one who knows, all right? People who got back trouble, you always know they got back trouble. They're walking humped over because it feels better humped over than it does straightened up. Yeah, I think I gained 3 inches when I had back surgery. You know, I felt, well, so what's the air like up here, you know? Wow, the altitude. Understand what I'm trying to say. And be careful. All those in the ministry, listen to me. Be careful in the ministry because we eat it, we sleep it, we dream it all the time. But if you're not careful, it'll take the tension out of your springs. If you're not careful, you'll take a set. It'll make you bowed back. It'll make you like a swayback mule. You won't ever get your spring back. Won't ever get your lift back. Won't ever get your joy back. Now, I'm preaching from experience this morning. And there are those emotional things. There are those financial things. There are those physical things. Family things. There's a whole list of things we could talk about. And when you think about the load you carry, when you add it all together, we go around pretty loaded most of the time. You know what I'm saying? Pretty loaded most of the time. That's another reason it don't take a whole lot to put us over the edge. That's why people go off like they do. If you get up on a 9.5, and 10 is the breaking point. You get up on a 9.5, it don't take much, friend, to get you. I mean, somebody just come on, drop a little bombshell on you, and like somebody made the statement, they said, you better come apart before you come apart. Boy, and we unloaded at the altar. We unloaded in our morning devotions, and our Bible reading, and our praying. But there's times you just need to walk away, just walk away, just, you know. You ever do that with your youngins? Been a couple of times, the youngins, I say, honey, you're going to have to deal with them. No, it's not. You do. I said, trust me. I need to walk away. I do not need to be dealing with this right now. I need to walk away. You understand what I'm talking about? I think you do. Well, there are that wearing out of the saints. So if we said that it's the sin of slander of the person of the Most High in the first part of the verse, then there's the sorrow of skirmish against the people of God in the second part of the verse. And understand what a skirmish does. A full-on war is heads-on. But skirmishes, you know what they do? Just aggravate you. Shoot and run, shoot and run. You can't ever fight a shoot and run, shoot and run. Hit and run, hit and run, hit and run. My animals the other day, I've got multiple kinds of animals in the same area. I keep my sheep and the billy goat and the donkey and the cows in one pasture, and I keep everybody else in the other. And it prevents having more little billy goats, you know. So I keep them over here. Well, my bull, by the way, thank you for the bull. He has turned out to be quite a bull. He hasn't got any taller, but he's heavy. As a matter of fact, he's plumb outright fat. Best natured thing that you ever seen. But the other day I wasn't there, but he lost his temper. Hadn't seen that before. I had one of these, matter of fact, I had the gate that come off out here when we had this fenced. I took that lower gate, took it home. I said, well, that'd be nice. Chain link gate. I put the chain link. I get it out of the barnyard, and I actually drive the mule through it. So my Kawasaki, I can drive it through it to spray and everything, so it worked good. So I mounted that thing. It just fit. And so the bottom of it was loose, so I put wire ties around it. And I said, these wire ties, that'd keep billy goat in. And it did. Until the billy goat and the bull got to sparring. And now the billy goat, he's a pygmy. He's about that big. The bull will go a full 450, maybe 500 pounds now. He's no small animal. He's not tall, but he's heavy. So they're pushing back and forth, and they're playing, it seems like, according to what they told me. And so the bull's done. He starts to walk away, but the billy goat's not. He rears up and he pops that bull in the mouth as hard as he can hit him with his head. Well, the bull's polled. He has no horns. So you know what he did? He lowered his head and he drove that billy goat through that fence. That goat was screaming bloody murder. The kids was trying to get him to stop. He pushed that goat, slammed through that fence. You ain't my pastor. He put him outside. He put him out of the pasture. He broke a chain link fence. Do you know how hard it is to break chain link fence? I spent 2 hours yesterday trying to repair it to keep the goat in. Like, how's the goat getting out? How's the goat getting out? I meant to tell you, the bull pushed the goat through the fence. I said, how does that happen? It's a wonder it didn't come through in little bitty pieces like a cheese grater, you know? I mean, you get a 500-pound bull pushing on you. So I had to make it, Jerry Dean said one time, he said, preacher, it's kind of a salutation, cowboy salutation. They'll say to one another, keep your fences horse high, bull strong, and pig tight. And that's a salutation for a cowboy. Well, I got him horse high. I had that 4 foot. And I had it, what I thought was chain link, Son, even a pig can't get its snout through a chain link fence. But I didn't think about being bull strong. And I never thought about the bull using a billy goat as a tool to open the gate. Boom, right through the gate he went. Now there are times that the bulls of Bashan compass us about. Full on frontal assault. But during those times, everybody knows that you're under it. You know that you're under it. And God gives grace. But you know, it's those aggravating times. It's those skirmishes. It's running around the outside and picking off and aggravating. Bible says, and shall wear out the saints. But then look what the Bible says. And think to change times and laws. You know, God set it up. And God set up a 365-day rotation around the earth, the earth around the sun. God set up day and night. God set up 24 hours. That's all God's doing. And time has been counted based on those rotations, based on those things, the movements of the planets and the solar system. Time is based upon that. But you know, we count time based upon the coming of the Lord Jesus. Everything before he came is considered before Christ, B.C. Everything since he came is considered A.D., which does not mean after death, but it's Latin anno domini, which means year of our Lord. In legal documents, they used to say year of our Lord 2023. But all that's changing. If you've watched anything lately, they've stopped doing that. They say now, they've replaced anno domini, A.D., with C.E. I didn't know what that meant. And it said, you know, 57 C.E. I don't know what that meant. And I looked it up. It means common era. It's the exact same day. They're counting the birth of Christ, but they refuse to mention his name. So therefore, they don't even want his initials. So therefore, they've changed B.C. to C.E., common era. So if you see a date with C.E. on it, that's what it means. And then on B.C., I said, well, what are they going to do with that? Before Christ, what are you going to do with that? You know what they did? They changed it to B.C.E. Instead of before Christ, it's now before common era. So common era, C.E. is now, and before one, we start back the other way, that's now B.C.E. before the common era. Because they refuse to even have Christ in the date. You understand what I'm talking about? Romans 1 said it'd be like this. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They don't want anything that reminds them that they are sinners and that they're going to bust hell wide open and burn for eternity. They don't want nothing to remind them of that truth. And therefore, they are trying to expunge, they're trying to erase, they're trying to change times and laws. But I got news for you. There's laws that they're not going to be able to change. The Bible says God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Same verse. In other words, there's some laws of nature, and those laws will never change. Two bulls can't have a calf. Nor can two cows. It's not how it works. And there's nothing you can do to change it. Oh, the laboratory, they can say, yeah, but man's got to help it. Yeah, man's got to pervert it. We've learned to pervert all sorts of things. But without the help of man, God's got some laws of nature. So there is a satanic seizing of the prerogatives of the Most High, the things that God set in place, and they won't change it. And let me just, while I'm there, let me just go say, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And they want to change it to another gender. I'm sorry. Let's just take a minute. Let's argue this from a totally secular standpoint. Let's take God out of the equation just for a moment. Darwinian theology. Darwin. You know what Darwin believed? He taught and preached the survival of the fittest. Well, I got news for you. Sodomites would have perished from the earth a long time ago because they could not reproduce. That won't hold water. God didn't make a third gender. He only made two. It's a symptom. As the Bible says, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so, but here's the good news, though. In spite of the sin of slander, in spite of the same shameful skirmish, in spite of the satanic seizing, can I say that the verse ends up telling us about a short-lived success. The Bible says, and they shall be given into his hand. That's terrorizing to think that the saints will be given into his hand. But that's what's going to happen to those that reject Christ. That's what's going to happen to those that are here during the tribulation. We know that. But then the Bible says this, until a time and times and the dividing of times. Time meaning 1 year. Times meaning 2 years. 2 plus 1 is 3. And the dividing of times meaning a half year. In more than one place, the Bible teaches us that 3.5 years is going to be that wrath, going to be the pouring out of the wrath of God. And all of this is going to come to culmination. But the good news is, look back up what I shared with you in verse number 21. It's going to be a short-lived success. He gives us the dominance. He shall be given into his hand. It gives us the days, times, and a dividing of times. But look what the Bible says in verse 21 of Daniel chapter 7. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Seems like we're losing ground in this day, don't it? Well, of course it does. Verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Man, I got good news. I done read the back of the book and we win. Yeah. I couldn't help it. I had to skip to the back. You know, I'm like that in a novel. You know, I want to get the back. I want to see who wins. You know, I flip over to the back. You know, I want to see who gets the girl and who wins. I want to see how this thing turns out. I'm going to read the last chapter. See how it turns out. I done read the last chapter. We win. Hallelujah. You said, but preacher, we're losing ground. Yeah, I know. And the Lord said we would. But now that you have the playbook, now that you know that these things are coming and are now upon us, now that you know, it can cause you to get rooted and grounded. It can cause you to be faithful in church attendance. It can cause you to tithe your income and give to missions. And it can cause you to put down some roots that your children will see. And it'll every time the doors open, you're here. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and special events, you're here. It's going to cause your kids to have a pattern. They'll see some things. And my friend, we may not see it, but your children will see it. That we put down some roots that when we're out of here, and if they're still here, may they say, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May our children and grandchildren say, it was a faithful generation, and they stood for truth and right. Friend, you may be going through it. You may be having any of these or all of these all at the same time. You may feel like the bull of Bashan's got you again the fence. My Bible says with every temptation, God make a way of escape. Yeah. I'm glad those wire ties didn't hold, because I'd have had goat mush, you know, that bull pushing. That thing actually gave loose and saved that goat's life because that bull are pushing on him. God will make a way of escape. You say, well, preacher, I'm talking about breaking, but well, sometimes something's got to break to offer some relief. I don't know exactly what you're going through, but God does. And I want you to know you're not alone. It's not just you and your job and your situation. It is the symptom. Listen to me if I can say it this way. You are the victim of biblical prophecy. You are the victim of biblical prophecy. But God had you in this generation and not the one before it or the one before that. God had you in this generation, like Esther, for such a time as this. Now, let's put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
And let's stand for truth and right. Let's pray together as we stand all over the building.